Blog Talk Radio.
You're now live on the Middleman Talk Show. I'm Alan.
It's Kevin.
This is Nick.
You should have held the spot right there. Just pause for a couple of seconds.
Boy, get some sense.
For real, man.
I don't care.
For real.
I don't care.
I ain't thinking about you.
It's all good, though. We gonna make it happen. Hey, for those that are listening today, we are looking for an extra co-host. Please send your resumes and some of the things about you. No naked photos or anything to wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com.
Hold on.
For a new co-host. Thank you.
Well, hit us up on Facebook on our Facebook page.
Man, forget Facebook, too.
Show.
It's there.
Forget Facebook also.
Forget it.
Man, I didn't want to talk about Facebook.
They're for Facebook.
It's on Facebook.
Yeah, that's how I really feel. I know it connected me with a lot of people I haven't seen in years or talked to in years, family. I'm meeting people on my dad's side I didn't know, so I'm happy about that. But forget them.
Well, you know, it'll be a new one in about 2 years.
Yeah. Well, Google Plus is calling my name.
It's terrible.
Okay, now what is this? Now what is up with Google Plus? Inform me on that, Kevin.
I don't know. I'ma just go over there.
I mean, a lot of folks are doing it. I'm just saying.
Just like MySpace, pimp. It took me a long time to get there. Now I'm finally getting to Facebook. Now I'm acting a monkey.
Hey, you just left MySpace 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you're ready to leave.
Yeah, I'm ready to leave.
Ready to leave.
Ready to leave, buddy. I just hope people know that we're still here. We're still live every Sunday, 6 p.m.
Still Eastern, 5 p.m. Central.
It's going down.
Yeah, saying.
Yeah, we letting all y'all.
All that on CP time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get them out there, but. Nick, man. What's going on in the entertainment world? I know you got something juicy to say today.
Well, as always, I'm going to leave the juiciest for Talk the Town, but there's a lot going on, man. Well, actually, this week has been a slow news week. I will say that the Soul Train Awards, they just recently announced their nominees for the 2011 Soul Train Awards. Chris Brown is leading in the nominations, which is, you know, kind of expected. You know, I have a problem with that, though. To be honest, the reason that the Soul Train Awards kind of lost its luster to begin with was because a lot of the people that they were nominating were not showing up. You know, so Beyonce would be nominated for several awards and she wouldn't show up. You know, I can remember, I forget, I think it was a Dream who was nominated for like 3 or 4 awards, and he was a new artist and he didn't even show up. And so they were just like, you know, we need to sit down for a second. And honestly, I don't want to see them getting that way again. I think it's great, you know, of course, for ratings. Yeah, we know Chris Brown's had a great year, so he's got all these nominations. But let's just be honest. You know, the Grammys does this all the time. They'll use those artists for the press.
but then they'll give it to the artists that they feel deserve it. Anyway, and I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but it's a lot of these artists out here that they don't show up to these Black Award shows like they do the other ones. You know, they'll break their neck to get to the Grammys. They'll come in all suited and booted for the American Music Awards. But, you know, the Soul Train Awards, they want to come in, you know, with the Versace on or the Gucci on and this and that. And I'm like, come on, y'all. Show the same love that you should. This is why our events never look quite right. Because you looking like you at F-Holes. And you looking like you at Freak Nick 95. And it's a, I don't know. So
I can see now, man, probably next couple years, man, may not have the Soul Train Awards.
Well, it's doing pretty well in terms of the ratings, but like I said, what I'm seeing is I'm starting to see a trend of a lot of the people that they're nominating are people that aren't going to show up because, quite frankly, they just don't feel that it's important enough to allot their time.
Yeah, well, see, you know, well, see, if you lose that, you know, you can lose some major advertisement and endorsement because people, you know, advertisement. Well, we both know about the marketing part. They pay more marketing because, you know, you got certain people that are going to come, and then, you know, the viewers want to see those certain people at certain award shows. So,
but if they're not showing up,
right, they're going to lose that market. You know, that could be money that they could be losing as far as on marketing.
I feel like this. If you can't show up to my award show, whether you were a front runner or not, if I don't see you there that night, 9 times out of 10, you're not walking away with an award.
Matter of fact, it's giving them just as much help as this.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, man, forget our award shows. Forget them. Who need an award? What people need an award for doing the same crap they've been doing for the longest?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fine, and I can understand that, but if you look at it from another example, like the Grammys last year, and I applaud the Grammys because in the midst of this year with Wiz Khalifa and Justin Bieber and all these other ones, the person who got Best New Artist, Esperanza Spalding, she deserved it. Now, quite frankly, people on the internet were like, oh, I don't know who she is, she's in this, this, and that. It's not based on popularity, it was based on the music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it should be. Artists like, and it's done wonders for her career since then, receiving that Grammy. So, I mean, it does help. It helps out tremendously. So I don't think it should be done away with. I just think it needs to be reformatted on how they actually do these things.
What else
in the building? Somebody
what? Here we go.
You don't know what I had to go through to be here. I'm out on the front lines trying to fight for our country, and I did everything I can to be here.
Fighting for our country. So what does that consist of, then?
That consists of getting information about the upcoming election, getting on the ground and getting information about what's upcoming and what we're going to do and the plans for the next upcoming months and how we plan to, you know, do our local and state elections and what the Obama campaign wants us to start doing.
Is that
Jim? Yes, it is.
I can't tell. My eyes is a little blurry.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody takes a vacation. Al takes his little good black man vacations. You know, Kevin has colds. You go off to prison or wherever Kevin says that you go. And I take a day, and it's like, oh, my gosh, Jen is the villain.
She sounds familiar, y'all. I'm not sure.
Anyway, people, we got a nice show planned for you all today. We got some, you know, some different topics in which we're going to present to you all today. We're going to do a little different style format that we normally have been doing, and hope you all are excited to hear what we have to present to you all today. Definitely want you all's opinion on some of the things which we are bringing up. I think that some of the topics and current events and stories that we're going to present to you through you all today. Some of you all have heard, and some of y'all that have not have heard may have some concerns about some of these things. And we definitely feel that this will spark a great conversation today. So definitely want to try to get into this. Thankful that everybody is on today, including our lovely co-host, Jen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is that better, Jen?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay, we missed you last week, though.
I know. We did. I know. I had some personal issues that I was doing last week, but I am back this week.
All right. So, well, fellas, man, I think it's time for us to get into it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let's make it happen.
Well, I think we can start with, I guess we can start with talking about the baby Lisa and the, what's the little girl?
Man, look here. We are talking about baby Lisa and Jessica, Jahessi Shockley.
Yeah, there we go. I can pronounce the first name.
Yes. Jahessi Shockley. If you guys have been following the news, a 5-year-old black girl by the name of Jahessi Shockley has been missing from Arizona since October the 11th. Now, we've seen a whole lot of things go on about baby Lisa. And first, let me say this. Lisa Irwin, you know, we know the young baby who they have not found yet.
Right.
Any missing child is a tragedy and should be given the utmost priority of finding. Let me start by saying that. However, looking at some of these numbers, it is seriously skewed on the coverage that's given to baby Lisa as opposed to young Jahessi.
Right.
There are, if you search right now, there are over 4,200 news stories about baby Lisa, any leads or anything like that. However, when you turn around and you're talking about Jahessi Shockley, it's only 718.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that that's a real big bias. And her mother, the mother of Jahessi Shockley, spoke out against it because she said after about 2 days, it seemed like in their town the police stopped looking. You know, it wasn't until she started making her own noise with news outlets and everything to bring attention back to the case that they say, oh, well, it is our utmost priority to find her. Mm-hmm. But they put the Amber Alert down after 2 days, which is amazing to me.
Yeah. Every minute when a child is missing is crucial. And 2 days is like an eternity almost.
Exactly. So for them to take down her, you know, the Amber Alert for her after 2 days, I'm like, okay, come on now. That's just a little bit of something. Like I said, in terms of national coverage, nowhere near any national coverage. As a matter of fact, I think we have a clip for that. If we can go ahead and pull up that clip, I'm going to talk a little bit about this. Let's go ahead and pull up this clip real quick.
Want to start an uncomfortable conversation? How's this for an icebreaker? Black women...
Begin with an update to the search for a missing Glendale girl. Investigators are scaling back their search for 5-year-old Jahessi Shockley. It is a move that is surprising to some people this morning. But this doesn't mean that they're giving up on trying to find her. ABC 15's Kimberly Chang is live with what was the command center near 45th Avenue in Glendale, now very quiet. Kimberly, I want to talk about that in a second, but first, you were the only person to speak with Jesse's mother exclusively. Tell me about that.
Connie, Jesse's mother, through family members, called me and invited me over to the apartment. She said she wanted to get the word out to really give people an image of who her daughter is. She says that she really wants Jesse back home, and that was her plea to the public. Take a listen.
Please bring my baby back. Drop her off at a public place. No questions asked, please.
Very emotional there. She mentioned to me that she was pregnant, she is pregnant rather, and that all she wants right now is to stay strong for her other children and for Jesse as well, and she's hoping that this will turn into a happy ending. Now, police say that they have cleared out of this area because they won't be canvassing as heavily as they were over the past few days, but they do say that the intensity for Jesse's search will continue. Now, this comes on the heels of an ABC 15 investigation which revealed Jesse's mother's shocking child abuse history. You know, we were told that she was sentenced to prison time in California back in 2005 and that her husband at the time, George Shockley, was a registered sex offender. Now, police say they are aware of this criminal history and that it does not play a role in this investigation. They are still searching for Jesse heavily. Throughout this neighborhood, we can see flyers posted up on trees, on light poles. You know, we've seen the community canvassing the area, knocking on doors over the past few days, and they say that they will continue doing this until they find Jesse, and hopefully they do find her. Connie, that is the goal this morning, and police say the Amber Alert is still in effect, and they will still continue their intelligence work just as strongly as they have been over the past few days.
Kimberly, we know that you are there in the neighborhood and on top of all of this, and we appreciate it. We'll come back to you if more warrants it.
Before we continue on talking about this, I got to say one thing. Black people, I love you. More than I love any other race on this earth. But if we don't do something about the way we spell these names.
Oh, Nick, yeah, I knew it.
I swear I'm done with y'all. I'm going to claim Chinese.
So wrong.
Wu-Tang, eh? Let's get Wu-Tang, huh?
Let's get back on track. Let's get back on track. We come on, man.
Shut up.
That's wrong.
Okay.
That man got every right to say that because I agree, too. Remember that black lady?
I'm sorry.
Come on. I did think her name was Jessie. I just wasn't going to say anything. I thought maybe you had seen some other kind of, you know, thing.
Look, the thing is, it's spelled J-A-H-E-S-S-Y-E. Let me say that again for those of y'all who didn't catch it the first time. J-A-H-E-S-S-Y-E. Now, you catch Jessie out of that.
That is too funny.
We gonna spell it different, baby. Ain't nobody gonna get this. You're right. Ain't nobody gonna get this.
That's horrible, dog.
So for Jesse Shockley. Oh my goodness. Okay, let's get back on track. Let me get focused. All right.
Who would you call his name first? Mahalia?
Look. Let me say something.
Oh, man.
I feel upset because I'm an educated black man. And the fact that, and I'm trying to respect the parents by thinking that they have some type of different name that they may have gotten from the motherland or something.
I thought so, too.
These niggas was high, I'm sorry, when they named this child. Anyway,
they were just trying to be creative in their spelling and so forth.
Nah, ain't no creativeness in that.
Damn, not at all.
Look, all right, I'm just trying to play devil's
advocate. Let's respect this poor baby.
I really hope. And let me say this: when you listen to that news clip, I'm listening to them, and the first thing they can't wait to talk about it. They couldn't wait to say it. Mother got a history of child abuse, father a registered sex offender, whatever the case may be. Okay, that's fine. I remember when they had Casey Anthony up there, before she just completely made herself look like a fool, she was the world's biggest victim. I'm telling you, there's a bias that is in the media. It has been here. It doesn't look like it's going anywhere. Yep. And that clip was a perfect example of it. Because if you look at it just like that, the police, no, they have not been looking at it intensely. And I look at shows like First 48. they'll go and they'll find the biggest drug dealer or the next biggest drug dealer or whoever shot JR. They'll go through hell and high water to find him. But with this 5-year-old
right.
girl that is missing, with this 5-year-old girl that's missing, all of a sudden, now it's like, okay, well, we can take the Amber Alert down. Or we're looking intensely, but we're not going to look around. We're not combing the area. You mean tell me in 2 days you found everything in this area that you need to comb for evidence? You have no idea what you can find there. And they have cases that have proved it time and time again.
You know, so
how long
Nick,
maybe Lisa been missing?
Nick, I mean, from just reading... You know, reading on this story, the mom is a suspect, the dad was a sex offender, the mom, you know,
right.
I mean, they had so many issues that, you know, when it comes to our community, man, it's like, okay, you know, because I remember they had a little story about this, and it's not just this baby, it's a bias for us in general, because, I mean, we make up, what, 33% of all missing reports out there? Now, we have to file a missing report file before our child is considered missing. Everybody else race, the minute they sit up there and say, hey, they missing, they missing.
Yeah, they
you know
missing.
What I'm saying? But our kids have to be gone for 3 days.
Yeah, but did you all read the, there was an article in Essence, did you all read it? By Crystal Brent Zook, a professor at Columbia. Do y'all have a copy of that article? Well, anyway, in her article, she talks about the virginal princess is missing. And, you know, to the media, to the world, who's appealing? Who's sexy? And she says that the virginal pure blonde princess is missing, and it has a lot to do with class and sexuality and ageism, not just race.
Wow.
And she goes on to say that many news directors, editors, and everyday people stereotype men and minorities who turn up missing and assume it's drugs or criminal activity or some sort of pathology. And so if journalists consciously or unconsciously expect men and minorities to be crime victims, she said few will consider it newsworthy if that actually happens.
Well, I agree, and I think it is. It was called the missing white woman syndrome or something of that nature from something I was reading where they was just, and I'm not harping on white people out there to all our white listeners. I'm not saying it like that.
I am.
Truthfully.
I'm sorry. Kevin, I'm sorry. They just said on the news today that they had the cadaver dogs over there smelling around baby Lisa's house. She's been missing since October 3rd. That's a whole lot longer than 2 days. Now they just stopped combing this area in Arizona for Jesse Shockley after 2 days because there's no more, there's nothing else to look for there. It's almost a month later and they're still looking for evidence around that baby's house.
The same thing happened with, what was her name? The little girl who was
Baltimore.
Kidnapped and she went down the street. No, this was like the Mormon people. This happened
back. Natalie Holloway.
Not Natalie Holloway. Natalie Holloway was in Aruba. This girl was kidnapped by a man and a woman, and she was taken out of her bedroom. She was like maybe like 12 or 13 years old. You remember when this happened?
Mm-mm. I remember what
you're talking about.
Yeah, and at the same time, it was a black little girl, and the same thing happened to her. But the black little girl ran away from her captors and made it home. But no one covered that on the news.
Oh, the one that she bit through the duct tape
she chewed through her duct tape and
that was in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it was at the same time. Little, I think, was this girl's name.
Well, just like with Natalie Holloway, you had the other little young black girl that was missing from Baltimore, and they found her body later on the riverside. You know, she was dead, but the thing about it, she didn't get too much coverage until her family just really forced the issue. And she had to go to Black Talk Radio to get that.
That's the thing. Like, why do we have to do that?
Yeah.
Why do we have to
force
the issue?
They don't
about
consider
Jesse.
Us newsworthy unless we're Antoine Dotson.
Yeah.
Buffoonery.
Play professional ball.
And about Jesse's case, missing case, I heard that they handed her family, like something about minority missing reports or something about that has to do with minorities. And my thing was, why does this have to be a separate issue? What does her being missing have to do with the color of her skin? It shouldn't be a separate entity because she's African American. It should be the same entity that looks for everyone. I could only imagine how it is for your child to be missing and not know where your child is at. It must be horrific.
Well, it's got to be, and I wouldn't wish that on any parent out there. No parent should have to go through that. But
I do think that they make an excuse.
That are going through it, like we heard that mother on that clip, that she didn't say I want them to be brought to justice. They just drop her off in a public place, no questions asked. I just want my baby back. You know, nobody should have to go through that, but you should get the equal amount of coverage.
There you go.
And I think it's a cheap buyout for news media like MSNBC, CNN to go ahead and say that it's an unconscious bias, where apparently it's not, when it happens so much, like most of the time, it cannot be unconscious.
Nah, it can't be as much as it happened. Oh no, there ain't no way. Ain't no way you can sit up there and tell me that they sitting up there with a situation like, every time a black child is missing, they ain't even reporting it. You may see an inkling of it on the news, and depending on what city you live in, shoot.
Right.
I mean, it takes us beating down doors and then literally kicking people in the neck to make something happen.
Well, let's look at it like this, Kev. If you remember when they used to put the kids on the back of the milk carton, it was black children, white children, Asian, Spanish. Every nationality, they are, like, but when it comes down to this news and putting them on TV and giving them TV time, it's tragically skewed how they do. And my thing is it really worth a child, is it really worth a child's life for you to have good news?
Well, they don't, you know, ratings and all that supersede common sense now. Fox News is the perfect example of that.
Yep.
Very much that.
That's a whole other show in itself.
Yes, it is. But, man, you know, if you know of any missing children or see anything, we need to use the social networks and whatever means that we have out here to help these people, because if the mainstream media is not going to help you, hey, we got to do it ourselves.
That's right.
Real talk. We on Facebook every day. We on MySpace every day or whatever site you on.
No, we not.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm just saying, you got people that's on every day where we can make some type of network where we can conduct our own news within it. And I guarantee you, the minute that we start doing that, these things will be shut down.
And black people, to our black people who are historically quiet when it has to do with things with the police or anything in that matter, we need to start speaking up. If you see something strange, speak up. I don't care if people think of you. Yeah, all that snot snitching, all this. If you see something strange, speak up, because next time it could be your niece or nephew or daughter or whomever. You know, we need to stop being silent.
Oh, yeah. Go back and listen to NWA, F the Police. Get motivated. Yes, sir.
Kev is, man, hardcore, man. All right.
Let's move on to this next topic right here. Mm-hmm. I just ran across this situation. I know if you've been paying attention lately, you've heard about this right here. There's a book. I can't recall the doctor name right off, and I do apologize about that. It's called Marriage for White People Only. Have y'all heard about that?
Heard about it, yes, I have.
Yeah.
It's something that our community is struggling with, you know, and we dealt with it a couple of times on this talk show, and it's amazing to me that we still having this conversation, and everything we talk about, especially with our black women, is dealing with money, education. These are the bases of love now. You got to be educated, and you got to have money to be my man. But
let's fire Ralph Richard Banks.
Ralph Richard Banks. Yes, that's that brother. Y'all, let's check this out. I got a clip right here. We got a clip that we're going to play with this brother right here talking about is marriage for whites only. Y'all check this out. Blah, middleman. Here we go.
Want to start an uncomfortable conversation? How's this for an icebreaker? Black women should not be held hostage to the failings of black men. They should marry outside of their race. This according to Stanford Law Professor Ralph Richard Banks. Black women should not marry down. They should marry out. This comes from a new book he has authored called Is Marriage for White People? And Professor Banks joins us on The Filter. Rick, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
The premise at the beginning, why black women are so unlikely to marry. Why is that?
Well, black women are unlikely to marry in part because black men are faring so poorly. As we speak, 1 in 10 black men in their 20s or early 30s are in prison across the country. 1 in 4 will go to prison. At the other end of the spectrum, nearly twice as many black women as men graduate from college. This leaves black women with very few partners.
So basically you're pointing out that black women face the thinnest pool of same race partners in the country. But I'm sure there would be a number of black men that would argue that point.
Well, a number of black men have argued that point. And in fact, one of the things I wanted to do with my book is to try to get to the bottom of this. And again, based on national data, the best available information, it simply is the case that black women are outpacing black men along a number of dimensions, educationally, professionally. Lots of black men are quite simply not able to be the type of partners that women want.
Are you saying the only way for a black woman to get married is to marry someone who is not black?
Well, that's not the only way. I am saying that if more black women married across racial lines, that would be good for them because more women would have stable and enduring relationships. They'd have better relationships, in fact, than they might have with the black men who are available. And they would also benefit the black race because more African-American couples would likely wed as well.
Are you suggesting that black men can never overcome the obstacles which you have pointed out?
Well, I'm saying many black men do. So there are lots of black men who are doing just fine. But it's also the case, and this is a national tragedy, I think, that you know black men are in many ways the most disadvantaged group of people in our society. In terms of incarceration, in terms of unemployment, in terms of marginality along all sorts of dimensions, black men in the aggregate are not faring well. And that's something that the book tries to come to terms with.
Now, stay with me here for a second, Rick. Would it be safe to say that if I came up with this conclusion, I'd be considered racist? I'm white. Would I be considered racist?
And you probably would be, and I think that's unfortunate. Frankly, I do. I think that's unfortunate. I think it's unfortunate that people assume I'm white or they give my conclusions even more weight because I'm African-American or because my wife is African-American. I think all of those things should not matter.
Has anyone suggested that you are racist?
Well, people have suggested that I am promoting genocide or that I am supporting the annihilation of the black race. In fact, until yesterday, every single radio interview that I've given was met with at least one caller making such an assertion. So that is an indicator, I think, of how severe are the social pressures on black women to remain within the race, even as everyone else, including black men, increasingly look outside of their race for marital partners.
And that was a clip. Marriage for whites only. What are y'all thoughts? What are y'all thoughts on that right there?
Well, I'll let you go first.
No. Ladies first. Handle your business.
I must say, now, let me say this disclaimer first. I believe in black love. I think black love is beautiful. I think that if you find love in any capacity, that's good for you. But I do not think that you should be confined by your race, where you say, I only do this or I only do that. If you so happen to fall in love with a man and he so happens to be white, then I think that's okay. And I agree with a lot of what he says. It's hard out here. It is hard. And if you can find love
for a pimp, yes.
If you can find love in any place, go for it.
Okay.
And can I say something real quick?
Because
I'm about to explode over here in this chair. Yes, the numbers of black women to men in college. Yes, there are twice as many in college. Guess what? Check your other races. Women across the board outnumber men.
Mm-hmm. In general. Thank you.
That's the first thing. The second thing, check your numbers. Black women in corporate America, while I am so happy that it is happening, but guess what a lot of these employers are doing? They are knocking out two quotas at one time by having a minority and by having a woman. It does not mean that that sister is not qualified, because more often than not, she is more qualified than most of the men in the building. However, they are filling quotas, as they have been doing since integration, since women's rights, since black rights. They've been doing that to make sure that they stay away from scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I will say this, and this is something that a friend of mine on Facebook says, and Jen, I believe she's a friend of yours too, Lydia Cotton?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, she does a series of video blogs, and we're going to have to get her on the show one day. Because there's one thing that she says that I absolutely agree with. There are a lot of women, when they get those numbers up, and they kill me with these numbers, one thing they don't take into is personal accountability. There are some women who simply say, look, I'm focused on my career right now. This is the reason I'm not married. It's not because she's sitting at home every night waiting on the man to be her knight in shining armor. It's because she's out there trying to establish herself. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't sit there and use those same numbers to say, oh, because black men aren't standing up, these black women are at home. First off, stop making our black women look like they're just sitting at the house, lonely creatures with nothing else to do, but wait on some dude to come in and rescue them.
Right.
I agree with that. However, it is a lot of black women out here who find it hard to find themselves in a relationship. It's hard for everybody to find a relationship.
Yeah. It's hard for everybody to find something.
Marriage is down across the board.
Nick, I'm going to say this much. And do you know what I'm saying? Like Jen said, if you fall in love with somebody, that's fine. But lately, they've been promoting a lot of black and white relationships, especially like with black women, white men. And, you know, the brother said that every time he did a radio interview that he at least get one call where somebody would say, hey, you're committing genocide. Now, if you really think about it, to a certain degree he is, because if you're promoting our women to go to another race, that child is going to be black. But if you constantly tell that, you know, and plus I'm going to post that up, you know, later on in the clip, they had two sisters on there. One woman said she'd been married for 31 years. She said she hates the term of marrying down. When in the world has a woman had to marry down? You know what I'm saying? What is that? What is that all about? What does love have to do with marrying down, or my education or my monetary means? If you love me, all those other things can go. You can be educated by the best colleges in this country. Let something happen to you. Get in an accident and your mind get rattled. Your brain get rattled.
Right.
You lose all your knowledge. Or if somebody gets out of
the United States,
you lose the
money. Economy.
Yeah.
How about
exactly.
that? Because I know plenty of people with degrees serving tables right now.
Exactly. But my overall point is, you know, it's not the fact that marriage is only for white people. I think if we're taught the traditions of what the values of what marriage really is, we can respect it more. Like y'all said, mm-hmm. a lot of our sisters and brothers are
right.
on this tip of, man, I don't need nobody right now. I got good pickings out here. That's for the brothers. And for the sisters, oh, dang it, I got to compete against everybody. You know, it's crazy.
Yep.
Hey, man, our people over on the chat board, Riding Dirty Radio said, how you going to be a wife when you can't be a girlfriend? Ooh.
What's that supposed to mean?
Ooh.
What is that supposed to mean?
Are you saying that black women can't be girlfriends? No, Jen. I'm finna tell you what he means by that. Hold on, Nick. I'm finna break that down, because that's what happened to me a few times in my life. A girl gonna tell me that I would be a good husband, but she and I can't be boyfriend and girlfriend. I've heard that twice in my lifetime. So in order, I looked at it like this. So right now, what you're saying is, And like, even if I wanted to marry you, I can't, because how can I marry you if we can't start off as boyfriend and girlfriend? I'm not gonna just jump on the boat when you say you ready to get married. No.
Well, exactly. That's not what those women meant by that, Al. I don't think. I think
really?
They meant to you. No, this is what I think they meant. Now, this is wrong because ladies out here, Al is a good man. He is black, white, whatever. Al is a good guy. However, a lot of women don't want that at their top. They're not ready for that guy. They want to have fun. They want to do that. A lot of women are attracted to the dog me out syndrome.
So what you mean?
A lot of girls are attracted to that. They like to be dogged out. And so somebody like you.
Is having fun?
I'm not saying that's right. It's not fun to me, but a lot of girls are attracted to that. Okay, you know for a fact, a lot of girls are attracted to that. I want somebody to dog me out. And you're nice. You're not going to be that person that avoids a phone call or does that or does.
If somebody's attracted to that gin, they's a damn fool.
Yeah, and that's why I'm glad they gone out your life, Al, because you deserve better.
I am too. I am too.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Jeff.
Okay.
If that's the case, going off of the premise that some women just are just attracted to that, that's not what they want or whatever. Okay, so how can those same women turn around and be mad at a man that says he doesn't want a commitment?
Those aren't the same women. You know what?
How
sometimes it's so
women?
Easy to compartmentalize people. You know what? Those women are not going to be the banner for all women. There are a lot of educated, good women out here that are looking for a relationship. There are a lot of hood rat people out there, too, that don't know how to act, and they don't deserve good black men or any kind of good man. Don't compartmentalize women into one category.
You're absolutely right, but guess what? Guess what? More often than not, women compartmentalize men all the time.
Just like I say about black people. Pookie and Ray Ray and Jaquan on the news, they don't represent me as black people. And Shanae and Cookie, and excuse me if any good women out there, and that's your name, but all, you know, they don't represent hood rat sisters. They don't represent me, and they don't represent the many good women out there.
We catch flack for Pookie and Ray Ray. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. We catch flack for Pookie and Ray Ray. We got to pay
all
their mistakes. All of the time. And it's just like this. I had to tell it to a young lady the other day because she sat there and she told me, well, all women can be wifey. Men just need to get it together. Excuse me? I'm sorry? Let me break
that
down. Everybody is not marriage material. And the problem is people don't get to know each other enough. And the problem, and one of the problems that I can say with some black women is they want to jump into relationships too fast.
I say a lot of what's wrong, I see with a lot of women, not just black women, but women across the board have a fantasy syndrome where they try to make every man their husband or everybody doesn't get the treatment that you would give your husband or that you would give someone that is a good boyfriend or whomever. They take that one man that's hollering at them at that one time and put them in that compartment and try to treat them with how they would treat somebody good and expect good in return, knowing if they have a Pookie or a Raekwon or whoever, and it's just not going to work. And that's their fault, and it happens to a lot of women because they want that so bad, they try to make a reality out of something that's not real. They try to make a reality of this good, you know, imaginary relationship out of someone who is not that person. And that's what a lot of women who need to self-examine themselves learn.
Jen, there's a lot of women out there that's falling into this whole little mind state that, you know, I could do bad by myself. I don't need no man, black man or this.
Right.
I mean, we caught up with so many. Like the other week when Shy Boogie came in.
Shy Boogie was off.
And you know what I'm saying? She made a great statement when she said, "Our race, men and women, are so damaged." Basically, I'm just paraphrasing, but we basically damaged to the point where we can't have a good relationship. But it's so crazy that our women don't realize that they have so much power to either make it work or make it not work. Only thing they got to do is stop listening to every damn body else realize what they got in front of them, stop trying to live for the day and plan for the future and make something better for themselves, they'll make it better for their man. And their man, they need to step up, do the same damn thing. That's it.
Exactly.
A lot of people aren't in that mindset to accept that. You are strong. You are part of a good population. But a lot of people aren't in a position or a lot of people aren't in the mindset to accept that and to act on it. There are a lot of wounded. I agree with, you know, the guest that there are a lot of wounded, damaged people out here that need to do a lot of self-repair before they even consider being in a relationship with someone else.
Well, I mean, old Ryan Dirty said, women can't judge every man by their last.
Thank you. And I'm tired of taking the short end of the stick. You know what I'm saying?
But Alan, what I'm tripping off of, you tired of taking the short? Why you got to take the short end of the stick? Why all these women sitting up here talking about they can't find a good man? They get used up, ran through, and everything else. Then come back and be like, well, I want a good man. He better have this type of money. He better have this kind of car, this kind of education. When you ain't like you said, what you say all the time, Nick? You want a Barack and Michelle? Matter of fact,
And this is my thing about it. I absolutely agree with Jen. It's like Jen always says, if you want a queen, you need to act like a king. But it goes the other way around. If you want a king, you better damn sure act like a queen. Because I'm sorry, that Cinderella story stuff, they need to get... See, that's the problem. It's just like Jen said a little bit earlier, with this, it's fantasy versus reality. And unfortunately, and I have not read this brother's book yet, I don't want to prejudge it, but that's just based on the words that came out of his mouth. I will say that it's books like this. Basically, what these people do is they see something that is, it's not because, I'm not writing this book because there's a need to fix this. No, they're not writing because there's a need to fix it. They're writing because they can capitalize off of it monetarily.
Hold on, Nick. You want me to tell you something else was funny about that whole conversation he had? And now I don't know if it was in the clip that we just played, but the dude that was questioning him asked him a simple question. So you telling me your wife made a mistake when she married you? And his answer was, no, I hope not. And he was saying basically that by his wife having more options and opportunity to marry someone else outside of her race, it would make him step up and be a better person. No, it won't. Because if you want to be a better person, you're going to be a better person, period.
Exactly. The moment that you decide that you're going to be a better person for somebody else, that's when you're dooming yourself. That's when that's what you call codependence. You have to be best for yourself.
You have to be best for yourself.
I can't come into this situation saying, I need you to make me the better person. Now, don't get me wrong. It is wonderful when you find somebody that can bring out the best in you.
But not
that
person is an asset.
But they shouldn't go. They shouldn't have to bring it out. I shouldn't have to bring out the best in my fiance. My fiance shouldn't have to bring out the best in me. We bring out the best in each other because we just complement each other like that. That's how it should be. Those are the type of things that make. Those are the boundaries for a real solid relationship and get to know each other first. And I just think that books like these and the way he was talking is just a way. It's a way for him to prey on weak-minded people, both black, white, male, and female, to make money. He's not doing this for this grand crusade of, I've got to save our race. If you really felt this way, if this was really a real concern for you, you would be doing like somebody like Steve Harvey put the mentoring program together to show, to grab as many black fathers as you can to go and pick up some of these young men who don't have fathers around and show them what it is to be a man. If you were really about that, you would take the steps that people do with these mentoring programs, or like Ruben Sutter does when he does a summer camp every year. He brings in kids and he teaches them. They have a passion for something. He teach them how to foster that passion and make a better life for themselves. If you really felt that way, there are plenty of ways that you can do it by being involved in your community, not by feeding to stereotypes and making a book so you can make money off of people and out of their miseries.
And that's basically what it was, and that's what it is, and that's what it's always going to be. Anytime, in my opinion, the way that we're struggling in our community with our men and our women, and I'm looking at the next generation, and I'm looking like, whoa, we got a crisis on our hand, dude. I don't care what nobody say.
Yeah, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. It's getting worse, man.
Well, you know what, man? Let's do this right here. Let's wrap some all this up right here, because I think this right here is something we need to bring more people in and get into a situation where we get more opinions on this. If you're listening out there, you go or you're listening via download after the show's over, go back and tell somebody, hey, we need to start tuning in a little bit more to this show and see what these people are talking about, because we definitely want to hear you guys' opinion, because you are a part of our community, be it white, black, brown, green, orange, yellow. Hey, we are part of the human race.
That's right.
I know Al had something there that he wanted to talk about for a second. I don't know if you want to get into it, Al, but it's on you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the sake of time, you know, but because we can definitely get into what I wanted to bring out in depth, but you know, we'll just save it for another time.
Yeah, how about this? Let's let Jen tell us what's going on with President Obama. Matter of fact, we can talk about this real quick. Hopefully we don't go over this doggone Herman Cain sucker. If your poll is on you, can somebody, the next time you see Herman Cain, slap him with a pair of white gloves, make him understand himself.
Now, get
first of all, I don't think Herman McCain or whatever is Herman Cain. I like, it makes my skin crawl. I don't think he's really running for. I don't think he's serious about running for the president for these reasons. Number one, I don't know if any of you caught the Republican debate last week hosted by Anderson Cooper. If you didn't catch it, go back and watch it on YouTube. It's hilarious. It was really cutthroat. At one point, I thought that Rick Perry and Mitt Romney might fight.
Yeah, like everybody
that's how
fight,
it was.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but Herman Cain does not. He talks, but he has nothing to back it up. When you're running for the president, you must have clear-cut ideas, and you must have clear-cut explanations. Just like he's a cop-out. He made statements about, for an example, he made statements about his views on pro-choice and pro-life, where he said that he was pro-life. Earlier, you know, before this whole presidential thing was going on, he made some pro-choice kind of statements about, you know, the government shouldn't be involved. And now he's coming out and he's retracting his statements. I think that Herman Cain is going to come out with a book, just like Sarah Palin. He's a character. And I think it's sad to waste time on him when our real focus needs to be on who the real presidential candidate will be, which is going to be Mitt Romney,
mm-hmm.
more than likely, or Rick Perry, which he keeps messing up. So more than likely, it's going to be Mitt Romney.
He was chosen
to get
by
ready
them
for,
people, though.
Huh?
I said Perry was chosen by them people, though. Real talk.
Rick Perry is
until
like a Sarah Palin. Yeah, he's like a Sarah
he
Palin.
He was fine until
dumb.
He opened his mouth.
Yeah, he opened it. He's dumb.
Yeah.
He's very dumb. He doesn't even know what he's talking about.
They should have gave him a telephone.
And let me say this. I'll say this much, and I'm going to let Jen get right back to it. Where a lot of people, a lot of news outlets, I'm not going to say their name in particular, where they messed up was when they thought for a second that Chris Christie was going to run, they began themselves to bash all the other Republican candidates and tear them down. And when Chris Christie said, I am not running, then it's like, okay, we've done the damage to ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And so now what? Now all three of them look like jokes. And Mitt Romney is going to get it simply because of the fact that he's the best of the worst.
Yeah, he's the best of the worst. They don't like him. A lot of Republicans don't like Mitt Romney because of they call it Romney Care. He had a very similar health care plan.
It was the basis of
in Massachusetts.
Plan.
Yeah, and it was the basis of our current health care plan. And actually,
right.
I think our health care plan should have went further. I think that we should have had a singular non-payer system like the other countries do in the rest of the world, where it doesn't cost you any money to go to the doctor, no matter how rich or poor you are. It shouldn't be, you know, and I think
that bankrupt the country. I'm not paying nobody else.
No other country is bankrupt. But back to Herman Cain, I think that Herman Cain isn't focused. I think that he's a Sarah Palin, and I think that he's not someone to take seriously. Like I said,
he's genuinely surprised that he became this popular.
Yeah, I think so too. He has right. something, like he owns a company called Granddaddy's or Godfather. I don't even know, I've never heard of that even before.
Yeah, he's out of Chicago.
Yeah, and you know, I...
And he's a reverend.
It's not that good.
He's a reverend.
To what?
He's a reverend. He's Reverend Herman Cain.
Yeah, and one thing that I have, you know, everyone has an opinion. Personally, I'll say this. My father is Republican. I don't think that it's, and he's black. I don't think that it's impossible to be black and Republican, because before this whole Tea Party racist movement, the Republican Party was about being fiscally conservative, about, you know, about checks and balances with money. And a lot of their points I respected. But one thing that Herman Cain said that I cannot and will not respect, and that I think is disgusting, that he said that racism in this day and age is non-existent.
Yeah,
and that for
a
black
crack.
Person to say that they are held back because of race is ridiculous.
He's
and to down the institutions that got him where he is, I think is very hypocritical and disgusting. If they didn't have affirmative action, or they didn't have the people that laid the path to you know, the business people in the world that came before him that laid the path for African Americans of today, he would not be where he's at. And to just be so dismissive about it, I think it's disgusting. As a black person, I don't care what those white people have offered you. I don't care what they're saying to you or how many have backed you. Some things you shouldn't give up on as a person, and I think it's just sad. And also, I think it's sad for him to recant his pro-choice, you know, view. If you're pro-choice, be pro-choice. Be strong about your opinion. It's so funny to me that the Republicans do not like big government and everything, but just certain things. The government, I think that things like abortion and some choices are personal. And it's no business of mine or the government what you choose to do as a person.
Well, that sounds like that's hey. If y'all just tuning in to this show, hey, that's cool. But you got three in one today.
Right.
Three topics for the price of one show. Make sure y'all tune in next week to this show. We
I'm
always going
say this
home.
Too. Everybody log on to change.org or mybarackobama.com and type in your zip code and find out what's going on in your local communities. It's time to hit the streets. It's about to happen, y'all. We're ready to start this war.
Going in. Let's get to this talk of the town, y'all. Thank you very much there, Jen. Thank you. Here we go. Talk of the town. Nick Eaton.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eaton, and I am here with the talk of the town. Tyler Perry and Kim Kardashian.
Hello. How are you doing?
It looks as though Kim Kardashian will be adding acting to her budding empire. She has just been handed a starring role in the new Tyler Perry film titled The Marriage Counselor, which begins filming in Atlanta on October 26th.
Nigga, is you crazy?
Actress Jurnee Smollett will play the title character of Judith, the Ivy League educated relationship counselor who is having trouble keeping her own marriage together. Kim plays Judith's co-worker, Ava, who gives her a makeover that boosts her confidence in the midst of her struggle. Judith eventually finds herself in a dilemma when she rekindles a relationship with an old college flame.
They said enough, they gave you niggas money!
Former B2K member Lil Fizz is being sued by the state of California for illegally operating a marijuana dispensary.
What?
A marijuana dispensary.
What?
A marijuana dispensary.
Huh?
A marijuana dispensary.
Okay!
Though marijuana is illegal in the state of California, it is legal to sell the product with the confirmation of state approval in some places. Lil Fizz managed a Little Amsterdam dispensary in West Hollywood for almost a year and a half before he was sent an order to close the shop. In the pending lawsuit versus the state of California, Lil Fizz is being sued for over $1 million in addition to over $700,000 in legal fees.
Motherfucker, okay, you buy that.
This is your man, Nick Eaton, and this is the talk of the town.
You know you're stupid, right?
Yeah. Well, I do.
You might have glaucoma. You really might have
glaucoma. Oh, man, that's horrible. That's horrible, man.
I didn't
They didn't tell the rich people weed spot away from them.
Legal marijuana is big business in California. It's big business.
I know they didn't vote it down.
Let me say this much. West Hollywood isn't the rich people. And I'm not saying anything, I'm not accusing Lil Tiz of anything, but West Hollywood is notorious for being a spot for upper middle class
gay
homosexuals.
Whoa. So he got accused, you know, he gay. That boy flaming. That boy gay. B2K
oh,
is
Lord.
Gay.
Why
all
of
them.
To be gay?
They gay. They was coerced to be gay by that they manager, Chris Light Stokely, Light, whatever.
You're not coerced to be gay. Either you're gay or
he coerced them to be gay.
I said it before, I know people that got sucked into it.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. But hey, man, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
I don't know why they won't sit up there and let them folks smoke that weed. Don't do what they gotta do. I don't trip on nobody smoke weed. As long as you ain't, as long as it ain't inhibiting your performance, it's messing you up. You should be all
right. Well, look at it. They're not trying to put him in jail. They're not trying to put him in jail. They're just trying to get the money that they would have taxed him for. You're talking about $1.7 million that they want off of him. He's been running for a year and a half.
Right.
That's it has nothing well, to do with
them. Boy, pay them
taxes and
go on.
Well,
just
no, I don't know if y'all know. They voted it down where they can't. They, legal marijuana, you know, the dispensaries, it ain't working no more. All the shops, they had so many hours to close down. It was like last week. So all those little spots had to close down. So you can't buy medicinal marijuana no more in Cali. Y'all ain't know that?
No. I thought
it
was still
puff pass. Ain't no puff pass on there right there. That's 4:30. Done. Well, it was a great show, y'all. Next week, hopefully, we have a great one coming up this Thursday with Nick Eaton. You got a guest.
Oh, yes. This coming Thursday, we will have jazz neo-soul artist Monet Cherise. She will talk to us about her new album, Life Size Mirror, and her inner workings as a female independent artist in the music business. So tune in and listen to some grown and sexy music. We're going to be talking Monet Cherise.
Right.
It's coming Thursday. 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time.
Negroes, get it right. Hey, what's your favorite word to say?
Thank you.
Late.
Or take it. What? Man, oh, man. I'm
late,
out, man.
Late.
I'm out, man.
The middleman shouted, Big Crit shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, go take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, yeah. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey. What's happening, the middleman? Hey, what's happening, the middleman? Hey, what's happening? BlogTalkRadio.com, the middleman.
Yeah, Al, you gotta step it up, man. You gotta step it up, Al. You know, it's called really.
It's called self-esteem.
Really, Kevin?
You gotta have it, man. You gotta believe in yourself.
Really?
I believe
really
in all the children something. Something, something.
Oh,
yes,
okay,
yes,
I'm done.
Something. It's going down.
Peace out.
Yeah.